COP27 ended with relief rather than joyous celebration. Relief that after marathon final negotiations, an agreement was reached to, for the first time, provide poor countries with financial assistance to rescue and rebuild areas hit by climate disaster. It's known as loss and damage and has been a demand of developing countries for decades. But Mary Robinson's words that the world remains on the brink of climate disaster were echoed by others. Still in the emergency room, the UN Secretary General said, while Alex Sharma, last year's COP president, said the pulse of 1.5 degrees was weak in Glasgow last year and it remains on life support. Now later, we'll hear from Eamon Ryan, the Minister for the Environment, but I'm joined now by Claire O'Connor, the Energy Policy Officer with Friends of the Earth. Good morning, Claire. Thank you for coming in to us. You were there. You were in Egypt at COP27. What did COP do this time to make the world a safer place and to pull us all back from that highway to climate disaster we were warned about?
Yes, well, we've had some really positive outcomes of COP, but we would issue warning as well that we haven't seen the progress that we need in terms of addressing the root causes of climate change. So we do welcome the establishment of this loss and damage fund, where polluters will pay for the irreversible losses that are now going to be seen, in, that are being seen actually currently in climate vulnerable countries. Now, the thing is, we're seeing lots of celebrations on this from the Irish delegation and from civil society as well. But it's important to note that we haven't actually ironed out the detail on who is going to contribute to this fund, how much it's going to be and what exact losses it's going to cover. So we would be hesitant to celebrate this just yet, as well as that we haven't actually addressed the root causes of any of these losses and damages, which is burning fossil fuels, extracting and burning fossil fuels. And we saw lots of countries, the EU, the US, Canada, calling for explicit reference to the phase out of all fossil fuels, coal, oil and gas, in the kind of overarching decision text. And that didn't happen. We saw the Egyptian presidency actually kind of stop this from being explicitly referenced in the text. And I guess if we're calling for this loss and damage facility, but we're not addressing the need for the loss and damage facility in the first place, what was the point really?
On the loss and damage agreement, and you say we don't, you know, and the devil will be in the detail, but on that loss and damage, when will we know how it works? Is this another commitment without the nuts and bolts being in place?
I think this will be ironed out over the next year and we'll hope to see this by the next COP.
And what do you want to see then?
We need to see clear commitment from polluters. We need to see who exactly is going to pay. But like I said, we really need to address the most important thing, which is phasing out of fossil fuels. And we need to see that both internationally and on a domestic level. So what we want to see Ireland call for now is a process outside of this, I suppose, not imperfect COP process, and look at a fossil fuel non-proliferation treaty worldwide, which will cause for a global, fair and just phase out of fossil fuels.
So are you talking your way to the ending of the COP idea as we know it?
Well, we're going to have to see COP unless we'll have to see COP continue.
But is COP itself, as it's currently structured, and I know that you talk about the number of lobbyists mm-hmm. we had from fossil fuel nations, the number of people arriving from the oil rich Arab nations. Do you want to see a total restructuring of COP? Is it on life support as it is?
There was definitely a lot of conversation at COP that COP itself has become lost and damaged, and a lot of campaigners said that, and I would definitely be in agreement with that. We saw 45,000 delegates go down to Sharm el-Sheikh, this holiday resort town, where countries were greenwashing, really. They all had these special pavilions where they came and they publicly told everyone how amazing they were doing at climate action. But then in the actual negotiation rooms, those same countries who were greenwashing were then preventing any kind of progress in phasing out of fossil fuels. So it's definitely an imperfect process, and we need to see global collaboration outside of this COP process, which is why we're looking at this global fossil fuel non-proliferation treaty.
Eamon Ryan, and he will be with us just after 8 o'clock, had a key role from an EU point of view in landing the loss and damage agreement. What do you say to him now about those next steps and about Ireland's role from here on?
I think where we'll see the rubber hitting the road now is in the Climate Action Plan. It's coming out in less than 3 weeks' time now, and it's going to be our first Climate Action Plan since we've set our legally binding carbon budgets and our emissions targets for every individual sector. So this is really where we'll see the attention to detail. This was called an implementation COP, and we now need to see that implementation at a domestic level, and that's what we need to see from Minister Ryan.
All right. Well, Claire O'Connor, Energy Policy Officer with Friends of the Earth, thank you very much for coming into us this morning.